Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For a touchdown.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
The end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Greetings, Saints fans. Steve Geller here along with Jeff Nowak for another edition of Inside Black and Gold, a pre-mini rookie camp edition. Can't wait for that over the weekend coming up. We got some news about a Saints great getting his own day that we'll be celebrating. The legend at quarterback, Drew Brees, joining Sports Talk. And a little tiny bit of some Derek Carr news. What is going on with you, Jeff? Did you get to partake in Jazz Fest at all?
Mini rookie camp. I like that. That's what you should call it now on, mini rookie camp. No, I did not. I didn't go to Jazz Fest.
I didn't make it this year either, sadly.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where it's like, if I don't get a free ticket, I'm just like, pay money to go stand in the sun for 5 hours. And like, there better be someone there I actually want to see. You know, as much as I like Lenny Kravitz, wouldn't say it's my gotta go see it.
Plus situation. On a Sunday, that's tough for me. I'm sorry. I'm definitely an old man like that. I need a recoup day here.
My wife did drag me to a concert I had no interest in seeing on that Thursday. So maybe that, you know, it kind of hurt my concert Best going team. Vibes. Yeah, I don't know if there's any LCD sound system fans out there. I'm not that, but I got dragged to the Sanger. We sat through a majority of that show, didn't care for it, and so I decided to hang out on Sunday and not go to Jazz Fest.
That's tough, especially, I mean, usually there's a good handful of acts I'm dying to see. This year it's either I had seen a band like Pearl Jam already, yeah, or it was just I wasn't, nobody was drawing me out there, so I missed the fest this year.
Yeah, and I mean, the first week is the draft, you know, and I'm usually so
excited. Right.
I want a day off. Standing out in the sun is not a day off to me. Day off to me is laying on my couch doing nothing. And so that's what I did. But yeah, that was my weekend. But, you know, one day I am going to celebrate is, you know, happy, I should have said this coming in, happy Cam Jordan Day Eve, Steve.
Yes.
It's time. It is Cam Jordan Day on May 8th in the city of New Orleans, apparently. The New Orleans City Council has declared that May 8th is Cam Jordan Day. So I'll be out there tomorrow morning. I guess if you're listening to this today morning on May 8th, I think there's going to be a band. I think Edna Carr maybe is going to be out there. I think that was what I read. So that'll be fun. Cam Jordan Day. And, you know, That's the thing about Cam that's interesting. It's like, I think there's a little bit of like a split market on Cam at this point of like, kind of just want him to go away, but also don't want him to play anywhere else, right? Like, when he retires, he will be in the Ring of Honor. He will be a Saints Hall of Famer. He should be an NFL Hall of Famer. Right now, he's not producing at that level. So I think there's some maybe resentment toward that idea of like the Cam we remember versus the Cam we have now. But like, there's no question of like the impact he's had. And, you know, that's a big part of the reason why he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Like, he wants to finish his career here. But in order for that to happen, you have to play him.
Yeah. The biggest, I think, complaint from most Hudats is not that he's still around. I guess it's his paycheck that he's still making and not really producing those elite numbers anymore.
He did take a pay cut, though, so, you know, that probably should help some grease the skids a little on how people feel about that contract.
Saints fans are very rational.
He did take less money, so we should give him credit for that. But yeah, I don't have anything else to say about that other than tomorrow's Cam Jordan Day as we record this. You know, we will have some other basic. There's not a ton of news. Like, this is kind of our rundown segment that we do. There's not a ton of news. We will hear from Drew Brees in the next segment. He did come on Sports Talk this week, so we'll hear from him on the quarterback situation. We'll talk a little more about Tyler Shuck as we go here. Final segment, we're going to have more of a preview of rookie minicamp. Couple UDFAs we think have a good chance to make the roster, and why? What are we looking forward to seeing? All that stuff. But first, I want to get into the quarterback situation. A quarterback who will not be at rookie minicamp, but will he be at the actual training camp? That's what we're going to have to find out. Jane Slater of the NFL Network gave some updates. I would say that it's a lot of stuff that we kind of knew already, but had not confirmed. This is what she had to say on NFL Network yesterday regarding the Derek Carr deal.
When I was in New Orleans, it came out ahead of the draft that Derek Carr had this shoulder injury. And I think it shocked actually a lot of people, even that are familiar with the team and work around the facility. And Mickey Loomis wasn't elaborating on it despite getting pressed by reporters. I've asked a lot of questions, and I'm sure they're very similar to the fans. Well, when did this shoulder injury take place? Well, I've gotten just a little bit more information today. It's my understanding that Derek Carr absolutely believes that this shoulder injury took place during the same game that he injured the wrist. Now, why are we just hearing about it now? Well, it's my understanding that he wasn't really throwing, obviously, after he injured the wrist. And, you know, afterwards, they were essentially eliminated from contention. And he really didn't start throwing a bunch until about here lately as he was getting ready to start ramping up for the spring. And that's when he noticed that he had this issue in his shoulder. So it's my understanding that he has had surgery to that shoulder before, because there are plenty of fans out there, and I've seen people, you know, on the airways. Well, why does he just go get shoulder surgery? Let's knock this thing out. Let's get a resolution. Sounds like he's trying to avoid that, but he wants to see if he can actually play through with this shoulder injury. The other thing that's come up, Tom, is I've heard people down in New Orleans say, well, where is Carr? Why isn't he around the building? It's a new coaching staff. Why isn't he contributing more? He is the face of the franchise. Well, it's my understanding that he has been down to New Orleans twice in the last few weeks. He's met with the team doctor at the facility. Now, it's unclear if he's met with Kellen Moore in person. I know that he and Kellen Moore have at least talked, but it doesn't sound like, and I've heard this because, you know, living here in Dallas, I've got a lot of friends that are Saints fans. I know a lot of people in New Orleans. It was beginning to feel like maybe Carr was giving them the middle finger down there. It is my understanding, according to someone close to him, that that is not the case here. He is trying to figure out what makes the most sense for his shoulder, and he is in constant communication with Mickey Loomis, but that sounds like there's going to be a decision sooner rather than later. So that's all the update that I can give you. I wish that I had more, but that's more than we've had in the last couple of weeks, Tom.
Jeff, when she says sooner rather than later, that's like a little dagger in my heart, because that's all I remember Sean Payton saying back in the days with the Jarris Bird experience.
Yeah, I hate that, because it means nothing.
Nothing.
In this case, I do think you're at kind of an interesting time, because why didn't this surgery occur immediately after the season? Well, like she mentioned, and she did explain a little bit more on social media of like, well, the ramp up process back at the end of the regular season, like we all knew he was trying to come back. There was not any actual throwing. It was off to the side with some players, like some injured players like Alvin Kamara, with a kind of a simulated, not an actual football, you know, so it wasn't full throwing like you would need to ramp up into a season. So that's how he would say, hey, I didn't notice it then, but I did notice it now. I don't know. The timeline is weird, but that is what David Carr said on NFL Network a few weeks ago. So it is at least consistent to what they've been saying. So if that's the story, that's the story. As far as the surgery, I kind of am of the understanding that, like, okay, if you're a quarterback that has surgery in the offseason on your shoulder, you're probably done for that year. Like, that's not a position that you can just say, like, yeah, we're going to get a surgery done, and then midway through the season, we're going to jump in and just go full. Like, you kind of need a full offseason probably to rehab and get ready for the next season. We're at a point now where I don't think it's something you want to drag out to the end of camp, see how it goes, and then have surgery then. Because if you're Derek Carr in this scenario, you're probably getting, if you're having a surgery, you're probably erasing 2025 from your NFL career. But you want it to only erase 2025. You don't want to erase 2025 and then a good chunk of the 2026 offseason when you would want to be kind of getting back into game shape. You definitely don't want to erase 2025 and then, what, 6 weeks of 2026, at which point a team won't even want to take a chance on you. So I think that's when you say sooner rather than later, I believe that, because if you're going to have that surgery, you're probably going to want to have it in, say, June prior to camp, rather than dragging it out to the end of the offseason and then making a decision based on how camp goes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear you. Something I'm not clear on, though, still either is, okay, if the shoulder issue occurred when Derek fractured his hand against the New York Giants in week 14, is it the left shoulder because it was the left wrist, or is it his right shoulder?
It's got to be the right shoulder.
I don't know.
It's got to be the right shoulder.
I think it's the right shoulder.
Huh?
I would think it's the right shoulder.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't. If it's a throwing issue, which is what is stated to be,
right,
then it has to be the right shoulder, because I don't think there's anything that, I don't think throwing a ball, it's like, oh no, my shoulder, right? Like, if it was a significant enough injury that you would have to have surgery, you would probably have known about it. Like, this is a throwing issue, right? And like, the torque that you put on your arm throwing a football at a professional level is significant, right? Unless you are doing that, you probably don't know if there's anything going on in there. So I kind of buy that. I don't think the communication was as good as it needed to be. And that's where we are at right now, is everyone's trying to massage that situation. All that said, like, if that's the case, fine. Like, it's just weird that it's taken until now for that information to get out. And we'll see. You know, the other thing, obviously, as she mentioned, he's been in New Orleans, he's been talking to doctors, whatever. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think this is going to drag out much longer. I think you're going to have a decision one way or the other over the next several weeks, I would imagine, prior to OTAs. Like, I don't think, if you're going to have surgery, if you're going to make a decision on surgery, you're going to want to do it quickly. And it's going to be something that the team figures out quickly. Now, the question becomes, do you cut Derek Carr? Do you hold on to him for the offseason and maintain some flexibility of, hey, maybe we can swing a trade? Maybe you can say, hey, instead of taking that full cap hit next year, you hold on to him and make him a post G1 cut next year to ease that burden. Because if not, then you're talking about, you know, $20 million this year, $40 million next year. I'm sorry, $60 million next year. And then that becomes a really difficult scenario to navigate next year. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. But until we see him out on the field, I'm going to go under the assumption that the scenario for the Saints is Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler.
I'm right with you there. I'm all aboard the Spencer Shuck train right now, just because of the too many unknowns with Derek Carr. And I'm basing this solely from what we've been getting from the fans' reaction and input. It's really hard for me to imagine Derek Carr stepping on that field week one, if it's, or whatever week it is, the home opener in the Superdome, to, I would imagine, a rain of booze coming down in the season opener.
Yeah, it just wouldn't go well.
It's a bad, you know, situation, man.
The level he would need to play at to even be passively accepted as, like, oh, we'll see what happens, is impossible. Like, it's the right scenario that it just will not end the way that anyone, I mean, if the Saints want it to end in the way that they switched to Tyler Shuck midseason, then maybe it ends that way. But in the sense of, like, people going to that building and being excited and spending money and rooting for the team in the way that you hope they would, just don't see it. I think the relationship is torn beyond repair. And the only question is whether Derek Carr's shoulder is also torn beyond repair. But like, I believe that the relationship is frayed to the point of no return. So throwing him out there would be a disservice to him. You like talking about a guy who's like, I don't want to be a bridge. Well, even under those circumstances, this is an ugly version of what a bridge quarterback is, right? You know, like you draft Justin Fields and you bring in Andy Dalton and you're like, okay, the fans can like accept like this is a means to an end. But like no one's out there aggressively booing Andy Dalton. You know, they're just like, well, this is the scenario until it's done. In this case, like I just think people would not accept it. So I think it would be in their best interest to move on. It would probably be in Derek Carr's best interest to have surgery, clean up his shoulder as best as possible, so that when he does move on to another team, he is as healthy and ready to go as possible. And however long his career lasts beyond that, he'll be 35 years old. He'll at least have a clean bill of health on that throwing shoulder, which that's your stock and trade. That is your lifeblood as a quarterback, is the ability to throw football. If you can't, Derek Carr isn't a top five quarterback, but he does have top 10 probably throwing talent in terms of his, like, you see him out there and he's able to just flick his wrist and get the ball 60 yards downfield. Like, he needs to be able to do that for any team to feel like he's their starting quarterback. So that's kind of where I am on it. And we'll see how it goes. Like, I think it's easy for me to sit here and say, just have surgery. You know, I'm not the one getting my shoulder cut open. Surgeries are not 100%. There are mistakes. Some things don't go as planned. Remember Michael Thomas had the ankle surgery, his foot or his ankle rejected the equipment they put in there, and that extended his recovery, and then it became this whole thing. I don't think he was ever the same player again. So, you know, you're talking about your shoulder, like, again, your throwing shoulder, your lifeblood as a football player. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But that's really all I have on it right now. And, we're going to see Tyler Shuck out at rookie minicamp on – we'll see him on Saturday. They report tomorrow, May 8th, on Cam Jordan Day. Practices start Friday. They go Saturday and Sunday. We'll see him – we'll talk to them on Saturday. The media will be out there on Saturday. So that's kind of where we'll go from there.
I appreciate too, Jeff, we've seen Tyler Shuck around the city already, getting ingratiated into the New Orleans, the Houdat Nation. Love the fact he's out at Tulane practicing with some guys. In that group, Spencer Rattler's not throwing any hissy fits. He's out there too, which is pretty impressive. I love seeing that, embracing the competition.
Yeah, no, I mean, whoever's giving Tyler advice on how he should handle this process is giving him the right advice, you know, and it's a lot easier. You know, I think it'd be easy to sit there and be like, well, Tyler's doing all these things that Derek wasn't doing. And I don't know, like, I think it's a lot easier to join a team as a rookie and kind of start from the ground up rather than parachuting in as a 32-year-old starting quarterback who is expected to take the reins immediately and win games. It's gonna look different. All that said, he's handling it well, right? And that's all you could ask. I think he's got the personality that's going to win people over time as they get to know him. Like, going to Drago's for your first meal in the city is a good idea. It's what you should do. Like, food is important to people here. Like, don't scoff at it and go to Chipotle. Like, embrace it, right? You know, come in humble, which again, like, it's really easy to come in humble as a rookie and not a 32-year-old quarterback who you expect to come in day one, lead that room and win games. So, yeah, that said, like, I'm excited. I think it's going to be interesting. He has a jersey number according to the Saints roster.
Yeah,
we'll see if that sticks. I think it would be smart for it to stick because you got to sell jerseys, and I don't think people appreciate when you buy a number 6 Tyler Shuck jersey and then in 3 months it's number 12 or whatever. I don't know. It can't be 12, but you get the idea. Like, I think, you know, when they put that number up there, that's going to stay. And Thomas Morstead encouraged him to take number 6. I saw someone say, like, Thomas Morstead gave him permission to wear number 6. And I was like, I don't think that's how we need to phrase that. Thomas Morstead has no control over who did he give Marcus May permission to wear number 6? Like, no, he's saying, please wear number 6. It's a great number.
Right. It treated me well. Hope it does the same for you, kind of thing. Relax.
Yeah. Like, former players don't, you know, if their number is retired, like what happened with Warren Moon and the Titans, which I think is stupid. Like, don't put players in position to have to give permission to wear their retired number. If the number is retired, don't let people wear it, or don't retire the number in the first place. Like, don't put Warren Moon in a position where he has to be the bad guy. Anyway, like, number 8 and number 9 with the Saints are not officially retired, but no one's going to wear them, and everyone understands that. So no one even asks, except for Devontae Freeman. When he came that one time as a free agent and was like, how about can I get number 8? Like, no, right. You can't. Sorry, Devontae. Anyway, but yeah, so a few other numbers that have been issued unofficially as per the Saints website, which can change. Like, we've seen these change in the past. Right. But the rookie class, Kelvin Banks, number 71. He's taking Ryan Ramczyk's old number. Vernon Broughton, number 91. Which is a good defensive tackle number. I think defensive tackle should be in the 90s, personally. Fadil Diggs, edge rusher, number 40, which is not a good defensive end number. I hate that, but whatever. We'll see how it goes for him. Maliki Matavau, the tight end, we're number 80. Devin Neal, the running back, in number 30. Quincy Riley, the cornerback, out of Louisville, number 29. Jonas Sanker, safety out of Virginia, number 33. As we mentioned, Tyler Shuck is in number 6. Danny Stutzman is in number 47. So that, those are the draft picks.
Looking good. I mean, we'll see what these guys can do a little bit on the open mini camp practice. But as we all know, there's not too much going on in this. It's a lot of kind of getting acquainted with the facility, their surroundings, and, you know, not so much on the field work, I feel, yet.
Yeah, and you're getting just like a few pages of the playbook. I've always kind of looked at these like practices as kind of, it's not going to make or break anyone. If you excel learning this part of the offense, it's not going to be like, wow, like, we're so excited. But it's like, if you struggle a lot with what you're being asked to learn, that is going to reflect very negatively on you, right? So, like, it's kind of a, you know, not a free space, but, like, you know, if you don't pass go, you don't collect $100 situation. Like, you got to get back to go before we go to anything else. So that's kind of what you're figuring out. You also have numbers for a majority of the UDFA class. You know, I don't need to go through all of them. Moochie Dixon's in number 84. Okay. I've always felt like 84 is like a good wide receiver number. Sure. I don't like the low numbers for wide receivers. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to jersey numbers. Don't give me, I don't like 1. I don't like 10. I want 80s. But, you know, we got guys in 2022, and that's not, I'm sorry, 22, and that's not going to change. I keep reading Marcus Yarns as Marcus Yams. I can't not do it. We need more distinguishable R's and N's. But Marcus Yarns is in number 34, which is that's what Kool-Aid McKinstry wore last year before changing his number, which, again, like, that's what I mean when I say these are not really official. Like, you know, a lot of times you get to roster cutdowns and more jersey numbers become available and guys change their number because there was one they wanted all along but couldn't have. I don't think that's going to happen with Tyler, but it could definitely happen with some of these other guys.
Yeah, I just remember the last like real, I don't want to say jersey scandal, not scandal, but just Mark Ingram going through a bunch of numbers. And it was like, he just couldn't find one that was doing him well after he was 22, wasn't available for him.
Yeah. He was just weird. He was in 5. And I think Kendre Miller is actually going to be wearing 5 now. Who is in number 5? Yeah. Kendre switched number 5. Something we haven't mentioned. Yeah. Spencer Rattler is now going to be wearing number 2.
The deuce,
which is perfect because I think he's going to be QB2. It's like it's the correct backup quarterback number. Otherwise, I don't know if there are any major changes. Brandon Cooks is obviously going to be wearing 10. Velus Jones is going to be in 13. So if you were angry about Equanimeous St. Brown wearing number 13 last year, you have to be mad at Velus Jones wearing number 13 this year. Justin Reed is listed as number 21. Charlie Smith still number 39. Colin Saunders still going to be wearing 50, which is a number that I just doesn't feel right for a big defensive tackle. But hey, you know, I've said my piece on that. They still have Ryan Ramczyk listed in number 71.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't officially retired yet. They have to wait until June 1st to officially file the paperwork so that they can get the benefit of splitting it over 2 years. And that's where we're at. And, you know, we haven't really talked about it. It'll be something we talk about over the next few weeks. The Saints haven't designated anyone as their post-June 1 cuts. They don't have to do that with Ryan. They just have to wait because it's a retirement. But for guys like Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, there will be some benefit to doing that if they choose to do it. Now, Taysom Hill won't really save him a ton of money in the long term, but it will free up $10 million against the cap this year if they did that. So you would be talking about, well, if you want to go out there and sign a Keenan Allen or somebody like that, that would give you some flexibility. But, you know, next year you're going to be in a weird situation. So it's just something to keep in mind. Keep going down the line. I don't see any other jersey changes that are worth mentioning. Jack Stahl is going to be in 88, Devon Godshaw in number 92, and Chris Rumpf in the 98. So those are the jersey numbers to keep in mind. So if you were dying to go out and buy a Chris Rumpf jersey, that'll be number 98. You'll probably have to go on the NFL website and make your own, but you can.
Yeah, those, I mean, when you got to do the create your own too, that's going to cost some money too, because they're not obviously just ran, you know, distributed a ton of.
Yeah, they're more expensive.
Right. But,
you know, if that's what you want, if you're an Ike Adams super fan, well, which did I mention Ike? He's got to be on here, huh?
He's still zero, right?
He's back in 27.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking Ugo. Ugo's always been zero,
right?
Ike Adam was 27, so he even got his number back, which is good for him.
Okay.
You know, and I always appreciate that as someone who has to deal with a lot of photos. Like, I have to pull a lot of stock photos for players. It's always annoying when you have a player who, like, when Marquez Callaway went from 1 to 12, or I'm sorry, from 12 to 1, it was like, I don't want to use a picture of him in 12 because then it's going to be, like, clearly old. So I appreciate it. Ike back, so I can still use all those number 27 photos, which I know he did that for me, and so I want to thank him for that.
The number time always fun to go through, and then it's like we got a lot of, you know, different guys. You're learning them throughout the season, and just trying to get that to stick in your head. So hopefully they don't flip flop too often.
Correct. Yeah, and this is always the time of year where I like try to like memorize the jerseys. We should have an episode where you quiz me on it. All right. One other thing to note, we don't have to talk about a ton here because we're going to talk about a ton next week. 2025 schedule announcement is a week from today. So it'll be Wednesday, May 14th. You know, we'll find out the biggest things for me personally, and this is a little selfish, but like, okay, when is that game in Buffalo? When is that game in Chicago?
For sure.
Because like there's a lot of things that, you know, it's kind of, you're kind of guessing. Okay, when are you going to be the most healthy? When are you going to be the least healthy? When are you going to be dealing with a backup quarterback? Blah, 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 stuff like that. Like, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. One thing you can predict is that Buffalo in September is a lot more manageable than Buffalo in December. And the same thing with Chicago. So, like, that's a big difference, getting Buffalo at the front end of your schedule versus Buffalo at the back end of your schedule. It's also true with games in Miami and Tampa. So if you get those games in September, the heat might be an issue versus games in December, where it's like you want to go to Tampa and Miami in December. It's ideal. I don't think it's as big of an issue for the Saints as it could be for some other teams, just because the Saints spend their whole training camp dealing with worse humidity than you're even going to deal with in Miami or Tampa. So like, you're actually trained, accustomed to it at that point of the season. Whereas like a team like Green Bay, like I remember when the Saints had to pick a location for that game against Green Bay, they were like, yeah, let's go to freaking Jacksonville in September, because Green Bay is not going to have any frame of reference for what that's going to feel like. But we're going to be used to it at that point in the season. And I don't know how much that played into the 38-3 result, but there's a reason they forced the Packers to go to Green Bay and not, I don't know, Minnesota or somewhere that would have been more comfortable for them. So it's just something to mention.
Yeah, like you said, with the schedule coming out, those cold weather games, you always keep an eye on. For me, too, what week is the home opener? Who's it against? And then also, how many of those primetime matchups do the Saints end up having?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get a lot.
I would be the under over maybe three.
The other question is international games. I would be surprised if they get an international game, but we'll have to see. I mean, they're adding so many that we're getting to the point that it's like, I think the ideal scenario for the NFL over the long term, like as we kind of build this out, is that every team deals with at least one international game, the same way that every team has to deal with at least one Thursday game, right? Like, it's a punishment until it's a requirement, you know, and maybe not as big of a punishment in the sense of like, yeah, a lot of teams want the experience of going to London and playing a game. They want the experience of doing that. But it like is a competitive balance issue at this point, because the Jaguars spend 2 weeks in London and have to come back and adjust. You're telling me that that adjusting back to your normal NFL schedule after 2 weeks in London is not difficult and something that not every team has to do. So I do think, like, whether it's the case this year or 10 years down the road, as you build this out, we're going to eventually be in a scenario where every NFL reporter who travels is going to have a passport.
Yeah. And I feel like when you extend the schedule, add another game, maybe add another bye week in there, so then you have that more of a chance to have that quote unquote recoup time after having to do a big overseas travel.
Yeah. And I think you're also going to see teams kind of have home travel situations. Like, I think the Saints are going to end up being the France team. Like, over time, you might see, makes like, okay, the Saints have one game a year in France, you know, and the same way that the Jaguars basically play in London every year. So we'll see how that goes. Like, I think, you know, in theory, it's a lot easier than in practice. So it's going to take some time, but I think that's what the NFL wants. And the NFL, when the NFL wants something, they tend to get it.
No, I'm going to have to try and convince WWL Radio that the entire sports talk show needs to go on the road if the Saints are playing in France. We'll definitely be envious of that trip you get to make. London was a ton of fun, but I would love to see France as well, man.
I am looking forward this time around to you having to host the 4 a.m. pregame show as I just casually wake up in the morning and say, hey, how you doing? Are you doing good? How's the weather treating you? Oh, it's still dark. That's right.
That was the most epic pregame show ever. Come on.
I will never forget driving in to host the pregame show down Canal Street and watching all the people still out from the night before on a completely different day. I was starting Sunday. They were still on Saturday. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back and hear from Drew Brees, an interview you and Mike Dettillier did on Sports Talk this week, you know, kind of breaking down what he's, you know, he's got a thing going on. You know, he's always got an iron in the fire, and this is no different. He's got an iron. So we're going to hear about it. We're also going to hear his thoughts on the QB situation, Tyler Shuck, all that. Always good to hear from Drew Brees. So let's hit the break, come back with that.